Team 33.
Abysmal. The worst thing I can say about it was that, yeah, there were loud, loud boos at halftime, but they were almost being clapped off at full time because the fans nearly felt sorry for them.
Team 33. Live every Friday night on OTB Sports Radio. Download the podcast now in the OTB Sports app.
Fiona Hayes, good morning to you.
Good morning. How are you getting on?
Fiona, thanks. Loads of questions to come to. We'll get to those in a few minutes' time. But I did want to talk about Japan, New Zealand, Argentina, and a lot of the conversation to lead into it, Fiona, has been about whether Andy Farrell should experiment, should he look to try and build out a squad, look at new options, change a philosophy. But really, when you think about it, does it not sort of come back to he's got the All Blacks in a week's time and he's got a job to keep and it ain't no time for experimenting?
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. I think we'll see a team that we're used to seeing in those high level games. He obviously, there's a few people in and out. I'm not sure of the changes he'll make. I think a lot of the talk has been around a couple of starting spots. Maybe Hooker is a big one there at the minute. Mm. But I think he'll stick with the tried and tested. Maybe Murray hasn't had a lot of game time with Munster, so we might see Jameson Gibson Park in there, but maybe Murray on the bench. I would definitely think he's going to stick with the tried and tested for this game as a lead into that big game next week.
Yeah, there is some team news leaking through to us. We'll come to that in a moment. Gordon Darcy was on yesterday on Wednesday Night Rugby, and he's been writing in the Irish Times as well during the week about the squad selections not indicating a specific change in philosophy, if you want to use that lofty a word. That idea of looking at new players, new ways of playing, and he was saying that it already felt like a missed opportunity. Like that value of... It's really difficult to get right, Fiona, isn't it? At that level of the game, the value of experimenting with what you're about versus, like, even if the IRFU were saying to Andy Farrell, listen, it's okay if we get one out of three and it's the All Blacks, this time around. Even if that's in your ear, if you're Andy Farrell, like, there's a bit of pressure on. There's not a huge amount of rope to be cut when you're trying to get results at that level, and not a huge amount of room for experimentation, really.
No, definitely not. Not at that level. I mean, like, people have been talking, we've been watching closely Andy Farrell since he's come in, his style. I think a lot of people have been chatting about Mike Cadd and maybe not seeing a lot attacking wise. So there's pressure on these guys constantly. So although we have young guys performing in the local leagues, at Munster, Leinster, Connacht, I think when it comes to the crunch as a coach at that level, even though these are, tests, not necessarily, we're 2 years out for a World Cup. He's thinking like that. He's not going to be changing his philosophy, not going to be changing his style. Mm. He's just going to be trying to get these lads more game time.
Difficult to know what to expect almost this weekend, isn't it? Like, Ireland haven't played since July. Japan haven't had a huge amount of games, although one recently where they did fairly well against the Wallabies. But like, in that context, it's a hard game to preview because we really don't know what the hell to expect.
Yeah, and that's it. And I suppose the thing about Japan is, like, they're such an exciting side. I mean, I watched that game, the 23-32 game with Australia, and it was very, very tight until like the last couple of minutes. They played some really, really expansive rugby. I suppose when we look at Japan, we know what Tony Brown and Jamie Joseph can give for us. They're probably two of the best, most exciting coaches around, and especially Tony Brown. I was reading an article recently with some of the Japanese guys, and he's told them, play with their own style. They practice with, they might be passing, then he might turn around and say pass behind the back. So these guys aren't afraid to try things. Mm-hmm. And I think we see that when they're playing that rugby. It's really, really exciting to watch. And I saw that in the Australian game.
Yeah, he turned down Brown, didn't he? He turned down the All Blacks. It's a pretty, that's a big deal in the career of a Kiwi, but maybe he turns up there at some point down the track as well. Some of the team news coming through, and you've hinted at some of it there already, but some of the team news coming through this morning, it seems like there's been a fair bit of leaking going on here about how this team looks like. And you mentioned the front row, so let's maybe jump in your area of expertise, Fiona. What's the expectation? The one thing actually seems loose enough at the minute as to whether it's going to be Porter or Healy at loosehead.
Yeah, that's the thing. I suppose you have the thing there with Leinster is that they've all, you're probably looking at a Leinster front row, but it could go either way and it's still fully Leinster front row. I think they probably will go with Healy for this game, tried and tested, getting Porter on from the bench. Obviously, Tyke Furlong definite in there. And I think if you're looking for something more exciting, Lions of Rugby, stuff like that, I think Kelleher is the man to bring in there. I mean, we know Herring, what he can do at set piece time. He's probably the best in Ireland at the minute, hook or wide set piece. But just playing off that cuff, Lions are running. Everything about Kelleher is exciting at the minute, and watching him with Leinster as well, there's just a bit more excitement about him. And I think this team needs that.
Yeah. So does that mean that it's a horses for courses almost, that it might be Herring, it might be Kelleher this weekend, and it could be Herring the following weekend?
Yeah, exactly that. That's what I was thinking. He'll get his run out this weekend, and I suppose when you're playing that, even though the Japanese set piece is absolutely brilliant at the minute as well, I watched them. They've really tightened that up, and they're really strong scrum. But I think when it comes to that All Blacks game, you'd probably be a slightly bit more reserved when it comes to that set piece, and you want guaranteed ball, line out, scrum, and I think Herring offers that kind of strength in those areas.
Yeah, like that. It almost doesn't matter how well Kelleher plays this weekend, that he's nearly already picked his team for the following weekend.
Yeah, I'd imagine he'd have a fair idea of the three games, kind of what direction he's going. Obviously, injuries will come into play, you know, if people are starting and so on and so on. But I would imagine by now he's a fairly good idea of you know, who's starting where, what minutes people need. I mean, we've seen, I spoke about Murray, like you've looked at Henderson. Henderson hasn't played much rugby for Ulster as well. So are you trying to get him minutes in that Japanese game to lead up to the All Blacks? I suppose he's got all those decisions to make, but I would sure lads have it done and dusted by now.
Fiona, what are realistic aspirations over this autumn series?
Yeah, I suppose for me, as you spoke already about 1-3, me personally, I think you'd want to be winning in the lead up to World Cup. That's all the talk at the minute. We're in a World Cup in 2 years. You know, we want to be competing at high level. We're looking at the All Blacks. They're going out, they're blitzing teams at the minute in all competitions. They're playing exciting rugby at the same time. So I would think we'd want to be nailing two of those three games at least.
Yeah. And even at that, if it's the All Blacks game we lose, and depending on the nature of it, like, look, I don't think that, there's no conversation here about, I mean, unless it's a total whitewash in terms of Andy Farrell's future, is there?
No, unless there's a complete whitewash. As I said, I don't think that. I know they've been maybe 9-10 days together in camp, you know, and we look at maybe Japan, they've had 2 months together. That's the way they work. They go in and they settle in for a long time together. But these guys have been playing, you know, we're watching Leinster Munster a week in, Connacht as well. There's been exciting rugby being played at the weekend. Now it's just getting them in together and getting them gelling together. And I don't think that will be a problem with the squad he has. There, a lot of them are used to playing with one another.
Talk to us a bit about Sexton. Obviously, it's his 100th cap, so let's focus on that for the minute. The fact that he didn't really properly commit to things until he's about 24 makes it all the more outstanding, doesn't it? But like, an achievement at that level of sport that not many get to.
No, and that's it. And I mean, he's spoken all week about how, you know, he took that first cap. He didn't think he'd get up. You know, he was looking at maybe 13, 14, 15, maybe at that age of 24. But I mean, he hasn't realised how much we've relied on him, and he knows that now. But he's just been such a professional. There's no one taking the jersey off his back because his standards have been so high. Obviously, at times he's had injuries, but like, you know, the conversations are going on week in, week out. You know, how come someone hasn't come in? How come someone hasn't nailed that certain jersey, because Sexton is getting older? But he's just playing, when we watch him with Leinster, he's playing at that high tempo, that high level, and when he's fit, he's really, really pushing that team, pushing Ireland, pushing Leinster forward.
Yeah, and like, there isn't, that is definitely part of the argument, that it's easy for a head coach when you get to that stage where, like, even if Sexton is trucking along fairly well, that there's another out half at one of the other provinces who you just can't resist, but you got to put them in the team, and that's not really happening at the minute.
No, it's not. And, you know, like, there was a lot of talk about Jack Carty during the week, and people saying, you know, he's in form. And Andy Farrell, you know, came out and said, look, sometimes it's not always about form. And I think with that out half position, he's really kind of looking to the future with the two guys he's brought in there. So you have Joey, you've Harry. I don't know what way he's going to go, if all three will get game time. I imagine he would. But now's their chance to really kind of put their hand up and say, look, I'm coming in behind you, because we definitely haven't seen that. And I suppose Johnny is, like, he's at his 100 cap. He's ready to, I'm sure he's not ready to wind down himself, but we definitely need to be seeing something as fans coming in the background, something a bit more consistent anyway.
Just to come back to the front row conversation for a second, what's your, forgetting about horses for courses then, what's your first pick front row?
Yeah, I think at the minute in watching the form, I would be, if you're looking at like the biggest game, I'd be looking at maybe they seem to be gelling really well. I'd be looking at Porter. I would say Herring, and I would have obviously Tyke Furlong in there as well, just for consistency in set piece. I mean, I spoke about Keller and what he offers around the park. He's really, really dynamic, but there has been questions about his line out throwing at times. And when you're in that pressure cooker of a big game against the All Blacks, you know, it's consistency that we need, and it's those players live off that, because that's the way Irish rugby goes. When we get the set piece right, I think a lot of the time everything else flows around it.
Okay. We had a few questions in. We'd thrown it out earlier on, Fiona, that you were coming on, and
I hope they've probed now. There's a couple of questions.
There's a couple of good ones. There's one very one very left field one that we'll come to in a second. But the one, good question that's come in from Izzel. The two questions that we have here, by the way, both, but thanks to our friends at Aldi, are off to the Ireland Japan game this weekend. So congratulations and well done to both of you. First, Izzel Cody, good morning to you and well done. Question for Fiona, she asks here. She says, not on the weekend's game, but with the news that the women's rugby from our neighbours, the Welsh, obviously, and the last few months of embarrassing scenes like Donnybrook, how far away are our women from this sort of commitment from the IRFU, which is obviously reacting to the news during the week that the Welsh Union have offered 10 full-time contracts, and I think it's 15 sort of associate contracts for some version of professionalism. And Izzel's Cody is, how far away are we from that?
Yeah, I suppose I think we're not too far away. The thing with the Welsh Union, I suppose, when we look at it, is Ireland actually do offer the women contracts, but they're in the sevens area. So with Wales, they don't particularly offer contracts in that, because the girls, there's maybe two or three that are involved, and they're contracted to Great Britain, because when they go to the Olympics and stuff like that, that's who they'll be playing with. So I would imagine that they're going to start looking at that sevens and 15s game. Contracts will come into play, and I would imagine in the next couple of years we'll see that start slowly coming into place in the 15s game. If we need to move on and push on as a nation, that needs to happen, and I think people know that, and there's a lot of talk about that. So I would imagine in the next year, 2 years, that the RFU will really be looking at how they can do that and how they can get these full-time athletes into the programme.
And we'll watch that with interest. Obviously, the Welsh exam particularly might put the heat on a bit. And as I mentioned, both of these winners, they're off. We competition this morning with two tickets to the Ireland Japan game, a couple of tickets apiece. All with thanks to Aldi, official fresh food partner of the RFU. Pick up the Irish Rugby Home Cookbook in aid of Bernardo's in Aldi today. And the second question, the second winner is off to the game this weekend. Teresa, well done to you. And it's, as I said, a bit left field, Fiona, but she wants to know, who was your hero in sport when you were growing up?
Oh, that's so difficult. Yeah, I suppose there wasn't a lot of women playing rugby when I was growing up, so I was actually kind of soccer mad, and you know, you always craved for that female role model. So for me, I suppose it was Sonia O'Sullivan. You know, when she was doing the runs, and you'd be out cheering, it was just something for the nation, and it was kind of, I looked at that as a child, that I wanted to get to that kind of level where I had people, you know, looking up to me and wanting to strive to be an athlete. Now, I will tell you this, I'm a prop, so I absolutely couldn't run. I knew it wasn't in running, but it was going to be in some other area.
Listen, and she inspired most of the country, men and women, of course, as well. Lastly, you expect us to get off to a winning start, I presume, this weekend?
Yeah, it's a funny game, as you said. It's hard to kind of preview it, because you don't know like what Japan can bring. We know what they can offer, and we know they play like that expansive, high-tempo game. I suppose with Ireland, I would imagine that they're going to come together. He's going to put, Andy Farrell's going to, from what's been leaked, it's going to be a fairly strong squad out there. And it's probably going to be a matter of set piece and dominating that contact area is where we would get Japan, and maybe slowing down their ball at times. I think we'll come away with the win, but it won't be a massive gap.